Welcome to Fast Break, presented by M3 Elevate. I'm Matt Cranny, and this is the show where we talk offensive and defensive business strategies with some of the most successful and insightful small business leaders. So if you're looking for great conversation and new ways to grow and protect your company, you're in the right place.
There's no such thing as a small business. Every business is monumental for the people who lead and depend on it. At M3 Elevate, we have hundreds of policies, but only one mindset: fuel your growth.
Welcome to Fast Break. Today, we're tackling a vital topic: protecting your business through strategic HR in 2024. Did you know that 52% of small businesses face legal claims in their first 5 years, often stemming from workplace compliance issues? Having a strong HR team can significantly reduce your legal exposure and safeguard your company's financial well-being. In this episode, we'll be exploring the top HR trends that not only attract and retain talent, but also mitigate risks and ensure compliance for your small business. We'll discuss proactive strategies and practical tips to navigate the evolving HR landscape and build a secure foundation for your company's future. So buckle up and get ready to learn how to leverage HR as a shield for your business success in 2024. To help us unpack this topic, we'll talk to two experts who live and work in the field of HR every day with the Employer Group. Since 1995, the Employer Group has provided expert human resources solutions to organizations of all sizes and across a number of industries. As the human resource, they specialize in all things payroll and HR, from providing direct deposits and preparing payroll tax forms to conducting HR assessments and creating employee handbooks. They're also a registered PEO, which gives them the opportunity to provide a comprehensive level of service to their clients. Joining me today from the Employer Group are Jessica Subach, Client Solutions Manager, and Mike Behringer, HR Manager. Jessica, Mike, welcome to the Fast Break.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Matt.
Awesome. Awesome. Team, let's jump right in. So I want to give each of you a chance to introduce yourselves. So please share with our audience just a little bit about you and the Employer Group and what role you currently play in helping business owners with HR. So Jess, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, thanks, Matt. I came to the Employer Group in April of 2022 after spending 10 years working in human resources at Macross. I moved back to Madison to be closer to my family and just attend as many Badger sporting events as I can. Go Badgers. The Employer Group partners with small businesses to provide HR, payroll, and benefit administration services. As an outsourced resource, we become an extension of the businesses and really become a strategic business partner. As the client solutions manager at the Employer Group, I work with prospective clients introducing their organizations to the ongoing or project-based services we provide, along with working alongside these new clients as they come aboard to partner with us. We're inspired every day by the great work small businesses do in our communities and are really honored to partner with them.
Awesome. Jess, welcome. Mike, what about you?
Yeah, I got my start in human resources back in 2005, went to school up at UW-Stout, and got my start in recruiting, as a lot of HR people do, and worked my way through different HR positions and a couple of different companies here in Dane County up until about 2016, which I had the opportunity to try my hand at consulting, which was always something that was interesting to me leading up to that point. So the opportunity to join the Employer Group as a human resource consultant, I worked with a lot of different clients, all different sizes, all different industries. It was just incredibly interesting work. And then about 2019, I had the opportunity to kind of transition into a role where I'd have the opportunity to lead the group and kind of manage the overall HR consulting function. And really what that looks like now is working with the team to help them develop and train and understand how to work with all these different kinds of clients that we have. A lot of my work does also focus on just pulling together a framework for delivering our services through the HR kind of lens, whether that's reviewing different kinds of technology platforms, researching best practices, and then working to build those into methods of delivery for our clients, whether that's a really small one or two person or three person client, all the way to a client that might be a couple hundred employees. And so that's really where I spend a lot of my time right now.
Awesome. We are really fortunate and glad to have you both join us for this conversation. So as we dive in deeper, I'm hoping both of you can help our audience understand why this is such a critical issue for us to address. It's been something when we've talked to people about what they want us to have a conversation on the fast break about, HR has been one of our most frequently asked or requested topics. What do each of you see as the key legal risks that small businesses face in that current HR landscape? And how can some strategic HR practices help mitigate them in 2024? So Jess, I'll come to you first with that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the key legal risks small businesses face are avoiding discrimination in employment practices, such as hiring, promotions, terminations, protecting employees from workplace harassment, paying employees correctly, being aware of minimum wage changes, classifying employees correctly. Are they an exempt employee, a non-exempt employee, paying overtime when it's required? Just to name a few. Yeah. So small business leaders are experts in their field. But when you candidly ask them about HR, they often say they don't know what they don't know. Yeah. When that statement alone could unintentionally create a legal risk. Though not knowing what they don't know creates that risk there. By having a strategic HR partner who emphasizes compliance and best practice in all HR practices, your organization can be better prepared to mitigate risk.
Yeah, well said, Jess. We use the phrase around M3 a lot that in the small business space, the term CEO doesn't translate to chief executive officer. Yeah. Oftentimes it translates to chief everything officer.
And
I think what you're pointing out is when that person, that owner of the business is starting to think about areas that they need to gain help in, whether that's their own HR person, whether that's an outsourced solution, HR is incredibly risky. And there's so much that goes on in today's landscape that it's really a great area to think about having resources or partner in. So well said. Mike, anything you would add to that?
Yeah, it's interesting. All the stuff that Jess touched on, if you would have asked us HR practitioners 10, 15 years ago, even a small business leader, do you know what these things are? The general consensus could be, we know, maybe I've worked in Wisconsin or I've worked in Illinois, or I've worked in a state for a long period of time and things didn't move very quickly. We didn't see a lot of changes. In the last 15 years, we've seen an incredible amount of change. So if you just think about all the things I just talked about, harassment cases, overtime rules, in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, we've seen just the landscape, at least state by state, start to change at an incredibly fast pace. Last year, we saw some pretty big changes in Minnesota and Illinois alone. Wisconsin hasn't seen those changes yet. But what we're finding is these small businesses, they're not going to be able to stay up on what these rules are, when they're changing, or how they're changing. So you could be compliant 1 year and think you're fine. And then 2 legislative sessions later and 6 months later, now you're totally out of compliance on a variety of issues. And in the new, I don't know if we call it the new norm, but after COVID, we saw a ton of businesses just decide that we're going to work remotely, we're going to hire remotely. And now we're all suddenly in 12 states instead of 2.
Yeah.
And that just, it's a great offensive strategy, but it puts a lot of compliance checkboxes on your list. And so if I had to say, what do I think are some of the legal risks for small businesses? It's really going into those states or going into places you haven't been before and just said, not knowing what you don't know. We've had some business owners that don't even know that there are differences from state to state. And so that's really where we've got to come in and not just say, what are you currently held to? But if you're going to do this kind of growth strategy, what do you have to start thinking about?
Yeah, it's a great response, Mike. And I would frame it out by saying the HR landscape is ever changing. The pace at which it's changing is picking up and getting even faster than maybe ever before. But at the same time as that, you have the world changing. And it's that double whammy that makes what you all do even more important and relevant. So that's really a great kickoff for us today in terms of framing out that issue. So as you both know, at M3 Elevate, we focus on helping people play offense and focus on growth, as well as defense and protection. I'm hoping each of you can share a story about how you've seen one of your clients, a small and growing business, play offense and grow through how they've approached HR. And Mike, on this one, I'll start with you.
Yeah, sure. One really comes to mind, but we've seen it a few times now. A lot of times we will partner with small businesses or just new startups that are looking to grow, and they want to grow by focusing on their operations and leave the administrative stuff to us. And we love to see that. I can think of specifically, we had a technology company, real small startup here in the Madison area. When they signed on, they were maybe five people, and they were doing the very traditional hiring. It was post for a job, come into the office, 9 to 5 kind of thing. And the technology landscape is so competitive. It's so competitive. Even in the Dane County area, we have larger tech companies that are going to gobble up the best people. I think we saw that they were really challenged to compete in that market. Mm-hmm. COVID happened, and they saw the market change, and they saw what people were asking for the last 2 or 3 years, especially the tech community. Is remote work when I want to work, just a ton of flexibilities. And that's really what the labor market in that area was looking for. So they completely pivoted and they redesigned the recruitment strategy. They redesigned their employment rules. And they said, look, we're just going to go get people where they are. We're going to let them work how they want to work. And we'll adapt to that because we want to be the first ones out there. And we want to be aggressive in our talent acquisition efforts. And we'll deal with what we have to deal with as a product of that, but that's going to be our solution and our strategy going forward. And I think as of the last 3 years, that company is up to 25, 30 people now, which so just some superior growth. And that's, I think, a really a testament to them deciding we are going to play offense. We're going to go after these people and we're going to change the way our company functions because of it.
Yeah, I love that, Mike. And it's a great example, I think, of that company using something that was hard and difficult in COVID, but using it as an opportunity to rethink their advantage, right? Rethink their ability to be flexible, to be nimble, to be creative. And when you couple that with the guidance that you all were able to provide to make sure they were doing that in a safe, risk-friendly manner, that's a great story. That's a really great story. Jess, what about you? Do you have a story that how a client has used HR to help them grow or to play offense?
Yeah. I certainly echo what Mike said. We do see a lot of clients, a lot of small businesses who are growing or on the peak of growing and are really discovering the need to leverage HR. We had a client in particular that we started working with last year, and they were really in the need of improving HR processes and needed a strong strategic HR partnership to bridge the gap during leadership change, development, and they ultimately wanted to move their organization to the next level. Mm-hmm. So partnering with us really helped allow them to get to that next level. And within less than a year, we've been able to complete an HR assessment to really go over their HR processes. We redeveloped their recruitment strategy, bringing on key roles such as their director of development. We updated documents and policies and really have become an integral partner within their organization to help their employees with benefit questions, managing leaves, and just being an overall HR resource. Because we were able to really take on that HR lift, the leaders in this nonprofit organization have been able to restructure their framework and spend the time on the mission-based work and really get the work done that they want to. Yeah, that's been a fantastic partnership, and really to see them grow and elevate their communities has been just a fantastic opportunity.
What an awesome story. And again, the power of, I use the example all the time, and you two have heard this, where it's really from an employee perspective, when you walk into work every day, you only have X number of units of time and resource available to you. And how you want to or choose to or get to spend those units really dictates the success of either you and your role or your organization, if you're the owner or senior leader. And I love just what you shared there, because it's saying, hey, the HR stuff has to get done. What they were able to do in partnering with you all at the employer group was say, hey, you can do that. And I can now use my units of time to serve in my actual giftedness, which is to go serve the community or to help develop my own employees or to whatever it is. And what a great way to think about how it puts them on offense. So thank you both for sharing those stories. And again, you two know, I love stories of offense and growth, and they show that this is an area from an HR perspective that can allow businesses of all sizes, but especially small and growing ones, to stand out and differentiate themselves as incredible places to work with innovative and creative approaches. We also know, though, that there are elements of HR that are really more of the foundational pieces that businesses have to have. And we've talked a little bit about that earlier. But I'm also hoping you can share a story about how you've seen a business play defense and protect their business and their employees with how they think about HR. So we've talked about, hey, here's how it put us on our path to growth from 5 employees to 25. We talked about how it allowed us to free up time to go serve the community in new ways. Can you share a story about how the defensive pieces come in? So maybe on this one, Jess, I'll come to you first.
Yeah, absolutely. In HR, it's important to spend the time being proactive to create sustainable processes, to not always have to be so reactive in situations. Mm-hmm. Ways to be proactive and play defense when it comes to your small business is to create your foundational HR processes for recruitment, new onboarding, compliance, payroll, benefits, performance management, compensation philosophy, just to name a few. Yeah. And you can really start by developing your job descriptions, your job postings, and creating an employee handbook. Hmm. An up-to-date employee handbook is one of the most important tools for employers to protect against claims by their employees. Hmm. It assists employees in knowing what's expected of them and what they should expect from their employer. And lastly, it really sets the tone of the organization and really reflects its culture within the policies. I've worked with many clients developing their handbooks, recreating them, reviewing them, starting from scratch. Hmm. And through that process, we're really able to develop their handbook to where small businesses are able to play defense and create policies that protect their business. Yeah. And through those processes, we're able to have the tough conversations and talk through policies and set procedures and really be able to get defensive in the strategy. And through those conversations, we're able to really, as HR professionals, share our HR insight. And you'll hear me say this again and again, compliance mm-hmm. and best practice.
Yeah.
And really to be able to specifically tailor the policies to the client. Mm-hmm. That is something at the employer group we really pride ourselves on, is that we know the foundation, but then when we're working with our specific clients, to be able to really to know their culture, to know their business, to know their industry, and be able to set them up for success with their policies.
Yeah. What a great example, Jess. I love how you tied in defense and proactivity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
sometimes people think, oh, no, I play defense when I have to. And I think what your story illustrates is the best time to play defense, to think about defensive strategies, is when you don't actually have to be on the defensive.
Yep.
It's when you get to say, we haven't looked at our handbook in a long time. We yeah. don't have a handbook. You don't want to be asking those questions when yeah. you need to have a handbook.
Yeah.
Or something has come up. So I really love that tie that you made for us there. Mike, what about you? Anything, a story that you would add?
Yeah, it's funny what Jess brought about the handbook. We're working with a client at the moment, and a lot of this comes to mind. Just to go further, I know we talk about handbook as in many companies, it's a document. You write it, you roll it out to employees, you say, hey, let's go through it, let's read it, let's understand it. And sometimes then it gets put in a drawer. Right. Mm. And we don't think about it. Even as a business leader, sometimes we lose sight of what the purpose of that is, or even what we put in it. A really great example when talking about defense a little bit is we had another client, new company, startup, and we decided, you know, let's get a good set of policies in place, not just for the sake of having a good set of policies, but for the sake of helping you move your business forward right out of the gate.
Yeah.
Let's tailor these to your industry. Let's think about what are your business objectives. And let's align these policies to help you accomplish that. You'll hear HR people say a lot, best practices. And although that's a great mindset to be in, we always want to take a look at what that might be, but then figure out, how do we get this to fit your business? A best practice for a 500-person company is likely not going to be a best practice for a 5-person company.
Right.
So we've really got to take care in how those are crafted and implemented. The specific example that I'm thinking about with this new startup, even before there were really employees on board, we went through, what is your vision? What do you want to do? What do you want to accomplish? And let's figure out, not just from a compliance standpoint, you know, what do you want to do with employment policies, but just from a strategy standpoint, from an alignment standpoint. And we got a great set in place. We had a great start. But over the course of the first year, the business experienced some challenges, experienced some growth. And probably about 9 months into it, we came back to the table and the business leader said, some of these things are having unintended consequences, or there's some gaps that I didn't think about. And what we said was, let's address it now. Let's think about, what are those consequences? Can we extrapolate? What do you see happening in the next year or two or three that we can get ahead of, right? Start playing defense proactively and get some new language in there. And so we did. And the best thing about a small business is that you can pivot and adapt quickly.
Yeah.
And so after 9 months, we got a new handbook in place, rolled it out, fixed some of the issues, shored up some things. Then 6 months later, opened a new location. Awesome growth. We love to see it. That adds another set of challenges.
Right.
So we went back to the drawing table. And again, we're talking about a third or fourth iteration of a handbook in the first 2 years. And that's okay. I think the biggest thing is, when you find an opportunity, whether it's policies or anything else, be willing to adapt.
Yeah, no, it's a great story, Mike. And a couple of things that I would draw out from it. One, I love how you shared that at the start, you started your process by asking the business what was important to them and to tell you about them, not showing up and saying, here's a handbook that I have that is for you, because in HR, this, I'm learning this, I feel like, from all of you, that it's a constantly evolving piece, right? And so if you don't start with, how does this apply for you? Tell us about your business. Tell us what you're able to uncover, things that maybe they hadn't even thought about would be an HR exposure or an HR issue. And so I love that that's always where you started your conversation. The second thing, again, going back to that, seeing these things as living, breathing, not as boxes to be checked. Because there's a lot going on in a small business. There's things moving all the time. You're encouraging us, I think, to have a mindset of, don't see it as, okay, I listened to the Fast Break podcast and Jess and Mike said, I got to have a handbook. I got a handbook. Check.
Right.
That would not be a win for us today. The win, if you are able to look at it and say, I always need to constantly be evaluating what my handbook, as an example, and there are other HR tools, obviously, that you have, but to see them as, hey, we got to continually be thinking about this. We got to think about it as our business grows and evolves and come back to the table at whatever cadence is appropriate. But just to make that mindset shift of, these things aren't just boxes to check. They're living, breathing things to be taken care of.
Jess and I could extrapolate on this forever and ever. You take handbooks and you just apply it to every practice, your compensation practice, your benefits practice, which I know you guys talk a lot about at M3. It's really just try to align what you're trying to do and accomplish with your business with your practices. And another great example I get, and we'll use compensation, for example, sometimes we have business leaders that say, I want to hire the best people in my industry. So then I ask them, what's your compensation strategy around that? Yeah. Are you going to pay the minimum? Because if you are, you're going to have a really tough time getting those people.
Right.
So although we've talked a lot about handbooks, it really applies to a lot of other facets of the business.
Yeah, well said. And so as we close out this section of our conversation today, Jess and Mike, I'm hoping that you can each share a piece of really practical advice you would give to our audience that you would encourage them to think about related to their HR approach, and maybe try and break that down for people who maybe currently have no formal HR support, maybe a situation where they have a small HR team, and maybe even for larger businesses with a bigger HR team. Jess, why don't I come to you with that?
Yeah. Small businesses who currently have no formal HR support, I would encourage you to evaluate who is currently responsible for your HR tasks within your organization. Is it someone who can inspire, communicate well, and take a human approach to the questions that employees have? Really having the right people in the right places will take you far when it comes to HR.
I like that.
Yeah, it really does take you far. You have to have someone with that human approach. And sometimes in a small business, you maybe have a CFO that's able to take on these items, but maybe, and not to stereotype CFOs, if they aren't the one that should be doing this type of work, their strength is maybe in their job and not in the HR or the business leader. It might not be their forte, or they might not have the time to really be able to answer these questions. Yeah. So evaluating who you have and having the right people in the right places really makes a difference. When you're looking at a business with a small HR team, I would challenge people to take a step back and really lean into being proactive for your business. Mm-hmm. Creating an HR calendar to map out compliance items that fit into each part of the year, scheduling policy updates, handbook reviews, reviewing mandatory postings, really taking the time to plan out and schedule the level of importance and continue completing items to help the organization grow and develop will be really important with a small HR team. When we move into the bigger landscape of a large business with a big HR team, with the large size, don't forget the small things that make a big difference in HR. Finding ways to inspire across the organization, be present within the organization, create an open door policy to establish or develop trust within the organization, and really to think strategically to align HR to the organization's goals will really be important in that bigger HR team. HR has really become such a business partner aspect of the business. Yeah. Where it's no longer just a subset. We're very much integrated into the organization and developing, coaching, leading, training, and really helping to develop the organization and move the business forward. It's really become a dynamic field.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mike, anything that you would add on top of that?
I would say, in general, don't fear change. Just don't be afraid to change. We just see so many businesses say, we've always done it that way. So why aren't you doing it differently? We don't know. Or maybe that would take work, or that might ruffle some feathers. Sometimes change is really good. For small businesses, don't have HR. Maybe this is find a company to help you with HR. Or maybe it's formally carving out someone's time and sending them to some training, just breaking out of that normal world. Medium-sized businesses, this could be so many different things, right? If I think about the medium-sized businesses that have made some changes, they're starting to look at, how do we make decisions? Should we start using data to help us? Should we start specializing in some area? Should we continue to rely on internal practices versus external practices? We start looking at market conditions. Large companies, this could be anything. It could be really subtle, right? When you have a large company and a large HR department, I get it. Change is way tougher and has a lot more, many more implications, a lot, much larger impact. So those might be subtle, but it also could be micro changes within a certain kind of HR. If you decide we want to be less transactional, we want to really be more dynamic in our employment practices, should we start employing and training business partners rather than generalists? Should we start looking at external compensation data, or should we look into incentive models? We just look at what's happened in the last few years, and we just keep finding the companies that are willing to change and adapt are just doing better. They're better off. Don't be afraid of change for the sake of it being change.
Yeah. I love that, Mike. And it refers back to something we talked about earlier in our conversation, which is HR is changing. The world is changing. And the needs of our employees are changing in companies that are, again, and I appreciate how you framed out the change is hard, because it is. Mm-hmm. It's not easy, but it is what is required, we think, to continue to be a competitive, awesome, forward-thinking employer in 2024. And when you think about just what you said about the field of HR becoming that sort of uber critical business partner, well, in my mind, it's always has been, but again, it is extra focused there now, because I think more and more people are coming to the realization of, which a lot of people have known for a while, but it's your employees are your number one asset. Right. And HR is just the business of how we take care of our number one asset. And we want to be able to do that in a way that is flexible, Mike, to your point, that it meets them where they're at versus where a business thinks they should be. And so those are really practical, really encouraging steps to close out, I think, that part of our conversation. So thanks for sharing those. So as always, our last set of questions on Fast Break is our fastest break set. And so we'll do this round robin. I'll ask each question to each of you, and then we'll move on to the next one. And we're just looking for a really quick off the top sort of answer. So does that sound good?
Yeah. Yep. Sounds great.
Oh, okay. All right. Jess, I'm going to come to you first. Favorite book you've read in the last 12 months?
Yeah. The Power of Moments by Chip Heath and Dan Heath. It's a great book on how we can learn to create such extraordinary moments in our life and at work. It's a great read.
I love it. Mike, what about you?
Thinking in Bets by Annie Duke. It's an interesting take on how you evaluate your decision-making based on the framework of the decision-making versus what the outcome actually is.
I love it. I love it. Complete the sentence, Jess. For you, leadership is?
Knowing the way, going the way, and showing the way.
I love it. Mike, what about you?
Mine's less catchy than that. I'd say leadership is continually evolving. Every couple of years, the new demographic coming in, what are they expecting out of leadership? Mm-hmm. What do you have to do at the top levels to continue to drive the company forward?
I love it. The most impactful coaching advice you've ever received, Jess?
Lean past your comfort zone. You will be amazed at what you can do and where it'll lead you. The growth is in the challenge.
Love it. Mike, what about you?
Take every opportunity you're given, even if it scares you.
Love it. Okay. Jess, your favorite podcast that you would recommend to our audience?
Yeah, I actually recommended this to Mike last week. Mindset Mentor by Rob Dial.
Okay. I love it. Mike, what about you? Are you going to say the same one now that Jess has recommended it to you?
I did save it to my list, I promise. No, mine is an indulgence. Mine is called Smartless. It's a bunch of comedian actors. Yeah, it looks like you might know it, who started a podcast just interviewing the top comedians and people around the world. It's just hilarious.
Yeah. Smartless is my guilty pleasure driving home from work on a Monday.
Wonderful.
Night, so. Okay. Yeah, Jess, you should. And everybody else should too. Okay. Jess, your current Live Without It app on your phone.
Yes. Matt, if you walk past my office, you can probably hear my Spotify going, whether it's music, podcasts, audiobooks, listening to Fast Break. There's noise coming out of my office all the time.
I love it. I love it. Mike, what about you?
Mine is my Peloton app. I'm a gym rat. It's having that thing available to me if I'm here in our gym in the office or anywhere else, just to fire up a workout and be able to get it done.
Love it. Love it. Okay. Jess, last thing you did that truly scared you.
Yes. So mine was hiking to the top of Artist Point at Mount Baker in Washington for my friend's wedding. The wedding was in July and there was still 10 feet of snow at the top of the mountain. So
that was quite
thrilling.
Okay. Mike, what about you?
Oh man, scuba diving with sharks in Fiji.
Okay. You got some really good stuff. That is some scary stuff. Okay. And last one, Jess, if you had to give a TED talk, what would be its title?
It would be Emphasizing the Human in Human Resources.
I love it. Mike, what about yours?
It would be Going to the Dugout. What to do if your team still needs you, but you're ready to quit. This was a little thing I gave our HR team an overview of a while ago.
I love it. I love it. Okay. Before we close today, Jess and Mike, if we have people in our audience who've listened today, they've gotten some really awesome advice from an HR perspective, and maybe they'd love to connect with you. Can you share with our audience where they can find out more about how best to do that? Jess, maybe I'll ask you that.
Yeah. If you want to learn more about The Employer Group, check us out on our website at theemployergroup.com. Also, you can find Mike and I on LinkedIn. We'd be happy to connect with you and continue the HR conversation.
Awesome. Awesome. Jess, Mike, thank you so much for being willing to join us today, for sharing your insights and wisdom with our audience in the HR space. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt. It was a lot of fun.
Appreciate it.
This has been Fast Break, presented by M3 Elevate, where we talk with high-impact business leaders and share strategies that you can use to grow and protect your business. And remember, don't settle for an insurance and benefits agent who only plays defense. You need an advisor, a partner, a friend who helps you play offense too. That's us. Like what you heard? Don't forget to subscribe. You'll find bonus content and more episodes at m3ins.com/m3elevate and anywhere where you find your podcasts. And if you're a business owner or leader with insights to share, give us a shout. We'd love to hear from you. We might even love to have you on the show. This is Fast Break, presented by M3 Elevate. I'm Matt Cranny, and we'll see you next time.